Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com.
Hazy, please tell me when I step on the first green tomorrow and I have a 6-foot birdie putt, I can take the flag out.
No, I don't believe you can.
Oh, come on.
I don't believe you can.
What's the gimme status?
No, it's about these stupid things. That, like, we can start taking flags out on the holes on golf courses. Put bunkers in the rakes in the bunkers. Like, you're not getting COVID from that. Can we stop with that?
I know, but listen, a month ago we couldn't play, and this was a part of it. We'll let you back if you don't touch the flag and footmarks all over every bunker and, you know, don't screw around. So those are the rules. I mean, there's nothing I could do about that. And it's a 6-footer. You're going to 2-putt that anyway. So take your 2-jack and go sit in the cart. Take your par.
If you're going to predict 2 scores tomorrow being ours, what do you think they're going to be?
I haven't seen you post-surgery. So and a little birdie's told me the other wing is maybe not in a great spot either, potentially.
That's going down in November. November surgery for the right wing.
That is very concerning to me. So, you know, I think you'll still be dialed in. You're too good of a player. I'll say you'll shoot, I don't know, a 74 tomorrow, 75, you know, give or take. And I think I'll go low 80s. I'll shoot an 83 tomorrow.
I say you shoot 90-plus.
I shot 90-plus last week with your boy, and I don't know if I'll ever get invited back. It was the most pathetic round. Yeah, I was out there with Tux, and I was his partner. By the end of it, I was like, might as well have been Daniel Alfredson.
You greased him? He had to pay a bunch of money because your behavior?
I was so bad. I never helped him once. Like, I was classic bad partner where I'm like, come on, pal, you got to hit that 25-footer.
Dude, isn't he the worst when that's going on? He doesn't say anything encouraging. He just looks at you like you're a piece of garbage. Is he not the worst person to play bad with? He is the worst.
He was still kind of pumping my tires a little bit, but he knew it was completely meaningless. Like, he was looking at me. Like, he was Bob Barker and I was Happy Gilmore.
I played in a tournament with him at the National, and I had a 3-wood in my hand from 242, and I hit it to 7 feet on the fourth hole, and I made a 7. Okay? Wow. He didn't talk to me the rest of the round.
Well, what the hell happened to you?
I turned into Dorf on golf. It was an episode. Like, it.
Ernie Els.
I was Ernie Els on the first hole at Augusta National. And he just said to me, he's like, come on, man, we needed that, and you made a 7. I'm like, Tux, sorry, bud. And he never talked to me the rest of the round. I did that to intentionally piss him off.
I was playing so poorly, and I'm like, I can't help you, man. It's you. You got to carry us here.
Let me ask you, though, because I didn't ask this question when it happened. Oh, how were you to James Duthie when he melted – when it was Dubas and Jerry
Well, it's
D.
hard Good to question. Hide your emotions because inside you hate the person's guts. But the thing is, he dragged me into choking, too. We were winning by so much, it was like, let's just par in here, like two-man. And we started, like...
slashing it.
Oh, my God.
Three,
we were Vandevelding
against Montreal.
Like,
yeah,
par
really
five,
were.
We both you had were. A 6-iron in, like, to the green. We both chunked in the... We were Vandeveld worse,
well,
both of us.
It's a warped mentality and psychology because when you're playing that horribly, you're so embarrassed because you're playing partners. You want your partner to be awful, too. Like, forget winning money or you know, drawing even. Be bad, too, so
Misery
I can look at you.
Misery loves company and say, we were both awful.
Exactly.
Man.
Then I can look at you and be like, dude, you were brutal, too. Like, it's not – I was terrible. Well, what were you doing? Chunking chips and
– You want to take away the ability for your partner to just blame it on you. You can just say, man, we had a tough day. No. Tux would say, I was good, but you sucked.
Yeah, he was good. He wasn't at his best, I would say. He was hacking it around a little bit as well. But it was contagious because I was terrible. Absolutely
He'll ice you
terrible.
For a bit for that. He'll ice you for a bit for that.
Yeah, I might not. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I got to redeem myself. I got to make it up to him at some point. Got to get back out there and try to win a match. But U.S. Open week, what did I say last week? The videos are flying about the rough at Torrey Pines. Drop the ball. Yeah, you can't see it. How many would it take you to get on the green from here? It's like a lot. I get it. The grass is long. That's what happens when you let it grow out.
Once a year.
Every year. Clockwork. Clockwork, man. So we got the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, which is a great course. Like, the last time they were there was obviously when Tiger hit that putt on 18 or the 72nd hole to tie Rocco, mediate and take it into a playoff, which was the last time he had won a major, I believe, right, prior to 2019 at the Masters.
That putt, I think of all the things that that guy's done, like, it was one of those things where I think he drove it in the fairway bunker off the tee, and it's like, okay, he's going to lay up. He lays up in the rough. You're like, okay, this guy's not, he's not doing this. And he made that putt. That was the most incredible thing I think I've ever seen on a golf course.
Amazing, because he's playing on one leg. The shots of mediate, or he's in the clubhouse watching.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And he's like, I knew he was going to do it.
Of course he's
going to
make it. And then he knew he was not winning the next day as well. They got to come back for 18. He's like, this is it. We're done. Not happening. So we got a big week ahead of us. We'll have picks. The Golf Guru will be making his picks on Wednesday. And Euros, we're tracking the Euros. I think we all had an okay weekend. My Scottish side, I can't say, really showed up today. Wasn't necessarily a textbook loss for Scotland. But outside of that, the big boys are golden. Tomorrow's a big match, France taking on Germany. So we'll get to that throughout the week. And the Jays, man, their bats coming alive. Yesterday, 8 home runs at Fenway. Opponent has ever done that. Fenway's been around for like 120 years. No one's ever hit 8 home runs in a game. And they're back at it tonight. To tee it up, we're joined now by our TSN 1050 Jays reporter, Scott Mitchell. I think the story of the weekend, Scotty, is still the bullpen, because it's so concerning. But if the bats are alive to that extent, I mean, I guess you could outproduce your problems there in a way.
Yeah, look, this is the recipe. You know, this is no secret. This is how they put this team together to get through at least the first half of the season. And, you know, in my opinion, it's worked. I mean, 33-30, you know, that's kind of all you can ask for at this point, considering it's a clearly imperfect roster coming into the season and some of the things you've dealt with no George Springer, you know, some injuries, things like that. So, yeah, this is it, man. I mean, you know, they're having their way with that Boston pitching yesterday. And, I mean, Vlad is the best hitter in baseball. And, you know, that's a pretty good way to win some games, especially with, you know, quietly, they're getting some pretty good starting pitching now. So that's really been the recipe. And, you know, the first month it was the bullpen, and that was completely unsustainable. And, yeah, this is it. Like, look, this team can score, and they have a chance on any given day just because of that power of that offense. And it's not a stretch to call it the best offense in baseball and even stack it up there with teams like the Dodgers.
Scotty, how long is Vladdy going to continue to get pitches to hit? Like, I'm not saying we're going to morph into Barry Bonds-type territory here where it's like 2 in the dirt, and then you might get a third way outside, and then the fourth one's just a waster. You're walking them, but these guys are throwing this guy pumpkins, and he's mashing them off the planet. It's like, how long can they keep doing that?
Well, I think it's stupid that they continue to do it, to be honest, because
I've never
seen a hitter as locked in as he has. And, I mean, you mentioned Bonds, and Bonds is my favorite player growing up, and I watched him come into yeah, you don't want to open that can of worms. But I love the dude, though. But, I mean, when you look at when you look at what he's doing, it's similar in a totally different era. And, you know, the thing with Vladdy is, you know, at some point you have to kind of throw a pitch in the strike zone, and he's kind of just been doing damage with that one mistake pitch, or that one pitch even that's on the paint, and he's been driving it the other way and driving it out of the ballpark. So, I mean, you know, at some point, unless you're just going to intentionally walk him, you might have to come near the strike zone, and there's a chance he's going to do damage with it. And that's how locked in he is. And, you know, I don't know how long this is going to last, but it's literally been 10 weeks of very, very consistent dominance from him at the plate. There hasn't really been any blips that have lasted longer than 3 or 4 games. So I'm interested to see where these numbers end up when all is said and done. But, I mean, man, you know, like I said, it's not a question. He's the best hitter in baseball.
Scotty, Robbie Ray was dialed in the other day. I love the whole get-up, the tight uni, the tight pants, the tight shirt. He wanted to come back on an $8 million deal. Is that not correct? 1-year deal?
Yeah, pretty quickly.
How cautious do they have to be? You could probably throw in Simeon in there as well. Guys that are just performing, I mean, amazingly, how cautious do they have to be in falling into that trap? Not a trap, but just saying, we like what you've done, but we don't really want to go long-term here. How do you think both of those guys in the future play out? Because both have been fantastic.
Well, it's a great question. You know, I was kind of wondering that a couple of weeks ago, kind of asked around. And look, I think both of these guys have their own ideas of what they want to do. And I think both of them want to get to free agency, to be honest. So yeah. The Blue Jays are really going to have to, you know, sweeten the pot, oversweeten it, to be honest, to kind of take that carrot away. Because when you look at exactly what both of them did, Ray, like you said, it was real quickly when free agency opened. He liked working with Pete Walker. He was a guy that was I had in the top 10 starting pitchers, you know, before he kind of blew up last year in Arizona. He was going to be one of those guys that was going to be on the market looking for 3 years, $60 million, something like that. And I think he wants to go do that again. And in the case of Mark Semien, it's very clear what he did. He looked at all his options, waited into January, you know, had to shift over to second base. And when you look at what he's done, he's really proven that he can play either spot up the middle, and the second base market is going to be much, much weaker. He's the best second baseman on the market going into it with that top free agent class at shortstop. So, you know, I'd be shocked if they're able to lure these guys back with some sort of deal without kind of going overboard. And I think both of these guys are going to want to get into November and see where things are. And you know, that's the price you pay and the gamble that you take is when, you know, some of these reclamation project one-year type deals don't work out. You say, oh, too bad. You know, it was a good shot. And then when they do work out, you're worried about trying to get them back. But, you know, I think the front office knows full well, and I think these players know full well that, you know, they'll revisit that probably in November.
With Scott Mitchell, a Jays reporter. The Jays have won 2 of 3 in Fenway. They play their fourth game down there tonight, then at home to the Yankees starting tomorrow. So the bullpen is clearly a massive topic right now. And on Friday, it just got ugly. I mean, it got really ugly. They have no arms they can trust. Romano's the only guy you can trust if you're Charlie Montoya right now. And even that, they feel reluctant to overuse him because of his injury history. So how can they make an adjustment here, taking a trade off the table in terms of, you know, Pearson, in terms of Hatch, waiting for guys to come off the IL? Like, what is realistic here for them to stabilize the bullpen?
To be honest, in the near term here, you just have to stay the course. You just have to kind of keep rolling those guys out there, the Chatwoods, the DeLeases. You know, Romano, as you mentioned, his command has even been wobbly when he's been in there at times, you know, not pitching frequently enough, and then, you know, coming down with some sort of interesting little forearm irritation that Charlie Montoya revealed to us, even though he was ready to go the next day. So, look, I don't think there's no internal fix. You know, you're not going to shift Nate Pearson, Thomas Hatch to the bullpen, make them late inning guys in June. You want to stay the course with that action and, you know, develop those guys. Look, if you're asking me, are they going to be in the bullpen, impacting the bullpen maybe in August? Yeah, I would say that's most likely. But these guys need innings. They need to build up. You know, Pearson had his first 5-inning start of the season the last time out, still walked 3 guys, but, you know, looked pretty dominant as he has in AAA. When he's been there. So, you know, I think you really got to figure out which one of these veteran guys or which kind of handful of these veteran guys are going to be options and really what you need to fix. And when Tyler Chatwood has been so good for 6 weeks and then has a blip, you know, you got to take him out of leverage spots for sure. Maybe use Anthony Castro, but, you know, you have to find a way to get him back right because there's 3.5 months to go in the season. So 3 weeks of a 6-month season isn't, you know, the be-all, end-all, but it's clearly costing them games. And, you know, I don't think there's any other solution other than to let these guys work through it with Pete Walker and hope they can, you know, get lucky. And, you know, your offense scoring 16, 18, 20 runs a game is going to help that too.
Yeah, it will. And if Springer is on the horizon here, then that might boost the offense that much more. And I guess there was an update today that George Springer will start a rehab assignment Tuesday with AAA Buffalo in Rochester. But Montoya said, quote, could take 1 game, it could take 5, it could take 10. We're going to communicate with him every day to see how he feels. Well, we would certainly hope that last part is true. You know, he'll set him down there. He'll shoot us a text when he thinks he's ready. But 1 game, 5, 10, what are we supposed to believe here, Scotty?
Yeah, look, I'd say right in the middle there. I think, you know, 3, 4, 5 games is probably where we're looking. And then you start to look at it maybe on the weekend. You know, it's not going to be one. It's not going to be, I'd be shocked if it's 10, but I think a lot of us are probably kind of shocked of kind of where this has gone over the last 3 months, because when this started with a minor kind of abdominal injury in March, and then it grew to an oblique injury, and then obviously he strained his quad running the bases in the first week of April, you know, no one would be sitting here saying it would be mid-June. So he obviously needs to get his timing back against some live pitching. But, you know, I think with how slow they've taken it up to this point in sending him out on a rehab assignment, because almost everybody expected it would have been last week, I would say that, you know, they're very confident in his health. It's just about timing. He's going to play 5 innings in the field tomorrow, so they'll probably maybe DH him the next day or allow him to get a little bit of a break and then play him 7 innings and then maybe another game, and then you think he'd be ready to return. And, you know, a veteran guy that's been around as long as he has, he does need time to get ready still, but I think, you know, it's the communication, as you alluded to, with him that's been important, and that's what we kind of haven't seen behind the scenes. And I think, you know, Springer himself this time has been very cautious, and I guess we'll see how much time he needs, but, you know, it's imminent, and, you know, we couldn't say that a week ago.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, you had a great article up on TSN.ca about Teoscar Hernandez, and he hit 2 home runs yesterday. He had not hit a home run at any point this month. Yeah, but 2 bombs yesterday. And, you know, speaking on Vladdy like we did a few moments ago, you mentioned that the league is starting to figure out. Like, we dance around Vladdy and this dude's waiting for us. And there's somewhat of a similarity here with the story of Bautista in terms of he was acquired in somewhat of an afterthought trade. It was for Liriano, and no one thought they were going to get anything for him. He's been up and down. He's a power-hitting right-handed bat. And he doesn't have the same vibe as Bautista. He's not going to get to Bautista levels, clearly. But you mentioned, and you broke it down, his last 630 at-bats, give or take, this guy's on a 44 home run pace at about a 950 OPS. I mean, those are Bautista numbers. And again, I'm not suggesting he's going to get there, but this guy's the real deal, man. And he certainly looks like it. If he can stay healthy and keep rolling, like, what do they have here, and how does this work out with Hernandez?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've tried to stay away from the comparison just because it's almost too easy. You know, both being from the Dominican, similar body types, very, very athletic, obviously the same position. Like you said, kind of acquired in an under-the-radar way, obviously hit from the same side, have huge, huge power. There are so many similarities between these guys, and that's the thing. I mean, Teoscar Hernandez, after he was demoted in 2019, has completely changed his approach and looked completely different at the plate. And when you put those 3 seasons together, the end of 2019, last year's shortened season, and then obviously this start, it's a monster line. And had he done that over one full season where those numbers could kind of stare you in the face, man, I mean, look, this guy is the real deal, and there could be another gear, too, because he's starting to cut that strikeout rate down a little bit. He's only 28 years old, which is obviously a very similar time that Bautista started to really put it all together and figure things out. But, you know, at the very least, this guy is an impact bat, and, you know, when you surround him with all this talent and you give him pitches to hit and you allow him to free his mind, give him that confidence to attack the pitches that he can do damage with, I mean, it's 40 homers in the bank almost. It just depends on if he can cut that strikeout rate. This guy is just another star level bat that's going to be in this lineup, and he's proven it over essentially the course of 2 years right now. We're just waiting for that one huge season for him to really arrive. But I mean, you know, he was a whipping boy for a while with some of the defensive miscues, and I always thought it was a little bit unfair because he wasn't that bad. He just made some really glaring mistakes that, you know, kind of had highlight reels or low light reels written all over them. But once he kind of got that confidence and kind of figured things out, he's just a completely different player and a completely different person. And it's all about that confidence. So, I mean, you know, he fits right behind Vladdy, and obviously he's getting a ton of pitches to hit and a ton of info from what guys are or what pitchers are trying to do to Vladdy, and he's just kind of locked into that cleanup spot, and he looks super comfortable. So, I mean, it's the same with Vladdy. I'm super interested just to see where some of these full season numbers are sitting, you know, when we kind of take stock of things in September.
Well, no kidding, and good to see Kevin Biggio back this weekend as well. He hit a home run on Saturday, home run on Sunday, and the Jays were all over that stat on Saturday. There was the first time in their history, in the three players' history, where Vladdy, Bichette, and Biggio all hit a home run in the same game, and they did it back-to-back. They go back to the well on Sunday. So, you know, there's health coming together. If Springer returns, I mean, 1 through 9, they're going to be loaded. They already are. It's just about the arms, and we'll see where they take it from here. Game 4 at Fenway tonight. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. I thought BJ looked pretty good at third, too, for the most part.
I'm happy for that guy, man. Yeah, I just like his professionalism. You can tell from his dad he gets it, and he's a pro. I just like when he plays well. I know he was terrible early on.
Yeah,
whether confidence or I don't know what it was, but I just like seeing that guy play well.
Yeah, well, the team jammed him up a little bit. Like, he's not a major league third baseman. And yet, because of other options or lack thereof, they said you're playing third. And he's a gamer. He's a team guy. He said, all right, fine. But
well, what is he, a second baseman? Is he an outfielder? Like, what the
I think he's going to be a utility guy. Like, if they found, like, Ben Zobrist, they've got a winner here. Like, this is a guy who he'll play over the course of the year. I wouldn't be shocked if he played 6 or 7 different positions. You know, based on injuries, based on, you know, pitching staffs, based on who you're facing and whatever. But I think he's a guy that's going to move around. He might be back at second next year if Simeon walks. He might be a guy in the outfield if they have to clear some space. But he's going to, if you hit and you're a team guy, they'll find a place for you, right? Like, that's modern-day baseball, man. It's you're a nomad. There's a lot of guys who just don't have a specific position. They'll move around.
Yeah, and just do what you can to be on the roster. But
exactly.
It was neat to see, like, the all-star voting and stuff like that. Like, some Jays are getting some love. Like,
yeah,
not just Vladdy. Like, they're, you know, it was interesting to see positions. And, you know, it was almost like every one, there was, like, a Jay within, you know, top
striking
three or top four.
Anyway.
Absolutely. It was
pretty cool. They're getting noticed, man.
You
put up
love.
18 runs at Fenway, and that's a one-off. It's a one-game scenario. But they're as entertaining as it gets offensively. The best offense in the American League for sure right now, and that's without Springer. So we'll see what else comes when he returns, likely by the weekend, if not early next week.
I officially have a message regarding your play in the match.
Uh-oh.
Do you want to get to it or take a break?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. What do you have?
Tell Hayes to piss off. I shot 81 that day, and he shot hang on a sec.
Yeah.
And he shot 90 or more, and I won all my matches except my partner match with that hillbilly.
Yeah. I think I was like a 94 or something. 95. Like, I was horrendous. I don't remember him shooting 81, but I do remember him.
Of course you don't.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to him. I know is I'm awful. And that is a fact. I don't remember what he did with his other singles, but doubles, it was a drag. I was pulling him underwater pretty early and pretty often. But I'll make it up to him. We'll get back out there soon, I'm sure. I'll shoot him a text later, see how he's feeling. Al's brother.
He'll ice you.
He might. Al's brother coming up with power rankings that I think you're going to want to hear. We always want to hear them. But this week takes a little bit of a different spin considering what's going on in the world right now. So yeah. Al's brother will join us. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
La troisième étoile du match ce soir, the third star, le frère d'Al.
The best intro in radio. Best intro in sports, period. Al's brother in studio, looking good, feeling good, playing good.
I have a feeling that you want to poke some bears today. I can tell that you guys chatted, and this is going to provoke some either
reaction.
Noodles flying off the head. I don't know, but I can already tell. When you say you're going to want to hear this, you're going to be pissing people off is what it's code for.
Yeah, I think
probably.
That's what it is.
Well, potentially, because what we're going to do here, what Al's brother's about to do, is drag in sports fans from across the sporting world, right, Alice Brother? And it's completely subjective. It's your personal list, but you're going to get people snapping because what they love may not be on your list. And do you want to explain what you're doing today here, Alice Brother, and we'll let the guys figure this out or what?
Yeah, so for this week's Power Ranking, we're going to be doing the best tournaments in sports. So this could be, you know, the Masters, Wimbledon, the playoffs, you know, anything, right? So it could be anything here. And you say, I'm going to get some people upset. Well, the Queen of Overdrive was not too pleased about something that I omitted from the list.
Tennis.
I'm sure
you
guys could figure that out. And yeah, she was none too pleased. And look, this was a personal list for me. So this isn't necessarily like a consensus of the best tournaments. This is what I believe are the best tournaments, the one that gets me going most. So this is more of a personal, extremely subjective list.
Which is the way it should be because, you know, if it's international, then the World Cup of Soccer is going to be number one.
Yeah.
And the Euros would be number two. And it's your list. So this could include Stanley Cup playoffs, the NFL playoffs. Like, those are included as quote-unquote tournaments. And, you know, any slam, any major, anything, right? Like, you're omitting the Olympics, though. You're not going to include anything Olympic-related.
Yeah, I decided,
right, Alice,
I decided to not do the Olympics just because it's a whole different beast, right? Like, the Olympics, there's so many different sports. Everybody tunes in. You know, nationalism really takes over, and it's just an entire world event that I think is unlike any other. So
right,
I think
it's
fair to kind of omit the Olympics because it's just an entirely different beast.
Okay. Best sports tournaments. How many? Is it a five-pack or a seven this week?
We got a five-pack.
Well, twinkle fingers. It's not stupid. Here, let's explain something. We started this as a 17 power ranking, so we've always been married to seven. I have found in recent rankings, if we expand it to seven, there's no pushback. Like, with five, you're going to omit a couple of, like, look, you've already pissed off Megan.
Or
if it went to seven, you'd sneak in
Wimbledon. Okay, Al's brother, you get your five. You get your five. Let's hear what you have to say.
The only reason he had seven was because there were seven teams in the Northern Division,
exactly.
And he wanted somebody to be last.
Yeah.
That was it.
Exactly. Yeah. Who cares? No one needs a seven
team
power ranking or whatever when it comes to this stuff. All right, Al's brother, so we're starting at five. These are your favorite tournaments. For whatever reason, you'll explain it, and ultimately people are going to get rattled because their favorite tournaments are not going to be included here or ranked inappropriately. So go ahead at five.
So at five, I've got the World Series of baseball. I think the World Series and the playoffs in baseball, more than I think any other sport, really elevates. Like, the game is so tight. Every moment you're hanging off the seat of your edge, and I just love playoff baseball, and there's nothing better than the World Series. Like, the unsung heroes and the storylines involved in the World Series, just absolutely amazing. I'm captivated from it, and I just absolutely love it. So, number five for me.
Okay, all so right. You're selling number five as if it's the number one, but you just admitted there's four better than that.
Yeah,
you're like, I can't get
I
enough.
Love sports.
The World Series is the greatest thing of all time.
I don't know. World Series, man, that's got to be higher than five, dude. I mean, you must be coming up with some sporting events because I think even the casual baseball fan, come playoff time. Like, back in the day where the Yankees were on every night, like, late 90s, it was like everybody tuned in. It was like in the World Series, obviously, you got the fall jackets in the stands. It's just so dialed in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's changed a little bit, though. Like, baseball is no longer America's pastime, right? Like, a couple of sports have kind of taken over, and I think that might be why it's a little bit lower.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, Alice Brother. I like it. Listen, we'll see who's left on the list, and we'll see who's been omitted from the list. Who do you have at number four? Your favorite sports tournaments.
I got the Euros and World Cup. Listen, I buy in because it's nationalism at its finest. I buy into it. I'm Italian. I have to, you know, Forza Azzurri, that's my guy. I watch it all the way through to the end, and I'm just, I love it. I love going out in the summers. It's the great time of year. You go to a patio. It brings people together. I just love the massive soccer tournaments that we see every couple of years. That's the thing, too. It's not every year. They're every 4 years per tournament, but like every other year, you do something, so it's like a special time of year.
Okay. I don't disagree, but you had some issues on Friday with some of your team selections.
You're picking guys
you
who play for
got
TFC.
Roasted.
Yeah, brain fart.
It's all good.
Well,
it happens, Al's brother.
Yeah. I was dying laughing.
I think this is a little bit suspect too, that you're mashing up two different tournaments into one. but I guess we'll allow it because we don't have a choice because everything's built and Megan's not in the mood to change anything right now anyway because Wimbledon, the French Open, the Aussie Open, the Rogers Cup. Like, Megan would have five tennis tournaments.
100%.
Anyway, so who do you have at number three, Els Brother, for your favorite sporting tournaments?
So I've got the Stanley Cup playoffs coming in at number three.
Number three.
Yeah, it might surprise you guys, right?
Massive
hockey guy. Love hockey to death.
Turn his microphone off.
Yeah, there it is.
Look, here's the thing.
People that don't even like hockey say it's the best trophy in sports and it's the hardest thing to win and the best thing to watch. So you're off your rocker here, bud.
I don't know if it's best thing to watch. I don't know if people agree with that. It's definitely the hardest trophy to get. Not going to argue on that one. I think it's a grueling 2 months. Oh, you've been to a cup final. You know more than anybody else what it's like to go out there and compete for that trophy. So, you know, I understand the grueling nature of the tournament, the Stanley Cup playoffs. But at the end of the day, it's not as captivating, I think, as some of the other ones I have higher up on the list because it's not like a one-game playoff. Like a seven-game series, as much as we love it, doesn't kind of add the what am I looking for here?
I don't know. You're sinking, man, because you're trying to dance around this. Realize there's more than one seven-game series, too. Like, this is the whole tournament. There's eight rounds in the first round.
I know. I just think, like, do-or-die, like, a one-game elimination is just so...
You prefer that.
I love it. Like, I really do.
Okay. Let's see what you have ahead of it, and then we'll tell you how ridiculous
the
you
Westminster
are.
The Westminster Dog Show. Al's brother's going to have that at number two.
You stole my number one.
Yeah, okay. All right, Al's brother. You put yourself in a tough spot. We knew people wouldn't be happy with this. But
that's where I
tune
out at that one.
Well, I think, too, like just the Stanley Cup playoffs, there's not as many people who are hockey in this country, sure, but around the world and within North America.
What does that have to do with anything? It's your list. What do you care about?
No, I know. You're right. I suppose it doesn't. But in terms of like when I talked about the Euro Cup and stuff, it has like that togetherness, camaraderie, which the Stanley Cup playoffs doesn't give you because not nationalism, right? It's teams
there's never any
against
fights
each
between
other.
Soccer fans.
It's
never,
a good
never
list
been ever,
so far.
Ever any fights.
Well. But if you say the Super Bowl at two, Hayes' head is going to explode.
Well,
so if you don't have it at one, you might as well just turn your mic right off.
Yep. Go ahead, Els Brother. Who do you have at two?
Number two, I've got March Madness.
Okay. Dude, so, is this guy on? What about the Masters?
You don't know what my number one is yet. I haven't
said
anything.
I already know what it is. It's
Mel Kiper Jr.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Explain March Madness at number two. It's a great tournament. Phenomenal tournament. Should be somewhere in the top five. But you're missing a couple of big ones here.
Yeah,
but go ahead, Els Brother.
For me, March Madness, because it's like that all-day action, right? For a solid 2 weeks, it's basketball all day. You get the betting game going in. It's extremely interactive. You write out your bracket. You're following all the teams.
This isn't North Carolina radio.
No,
this
but even yourselves, you guys are not like college basketball people, but you watch college basketball. You watch March Madness.
Not a second.
Yeah, but everyone watches when the tournament's on. No, like 95% of people are completely uninformed before it starts.
100%.
95% of people only watch the championship game. That's it.
No, I don't think that's true. I think a lot of people watch it because it's a betting thing. So many people bet it. So you're just going to have degenerates watching this entire thing because they got so much money riding on this.
It's a great tournament. It'd probably be in my top five somewhere. Yeah. I don't know what I'd knock out because I'm.
What
you're
are you talking
things.
About? I've never heard you say the word March Madness until like he just brought it up.
I love the Madness.
No, you don't.
I love March Madness. Not ahead of the Masters. Not ahead of the Ryder Cup. I think is going to be out. Of this. The Ryder Cup isn't going to be in his top five. But we're golf guys. Al's brother isn't. So it's his list. It's totally subjective. All right, Al's brother. What do you have at number one?
We got the Royal Rumble. No, I'm just kidding.
You could. Mullen would appreciate that.
Yeah, Mullen's got the Royal Rumble. No, it's the NFL playoffs, right? It's my favorite sport, and the Super Bowl is the biggest spectacle of the year, right? And it's always such a great game. There's a massive build-up to it. It's got the halftime show, and I'm just a massive football nut. So unlike most sports, I legitimately watch every single playoff game leading up to the Super Bowl. Right, and it's just kind of the way that football's structured, where it's like one game at a time. Right, you don't have to pick and choose. So I'm extremely I go with the tournament, with the playoffs, and watch everything. So I'm very invested in it by the time it gets to the Super Bowl.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'd probably go some combination of the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NFL playoffs. My 1-2. Like, that'd be 1-2 for me. I'd have the Masters somewhere in the top five.
It just
gets too tough, man.
The Euro wouldn't make it for me.
I can't have it in my top five.
March Madness wouldn't make it for me either.
Right.
Everything else, the World Series is really cool. The Super Bowl is cool. Obviously, Stanley Cup. But March Madness and the Euro would be farther down. Like, you know, as much as exciting the Euros are sometimes, there was a 0-0 game this afternoon with three shots on goal. That didn't do it for me.
Yeah,
you
know? That one hurt. But that's a one-off. I mean, you never know what might happen. But
yes,
and I don't kid people here. I'm not Mr. Soccer. Like, I'm not, you know, Stephen Caldwell over here. I enjoy the big tournaments. I try to get involved. But I don't have a team and, you know, a dog in the fight. Like,
right.
It might change if Canada gets to the World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. But I don't have enough of a connection to my heritage where I'm like, I can't wait to see this team play. I just don't. So
that's
– and the same thing with March Madness. Like, I have a – I'll make a bracket, which I'm invested in terms of gambling, but I don't have a team. So I just – I can't ride that wave the same way.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Al's brother. I think you're going to get a little bit of pushback, but I think for the most part you checked off a lot of boxes. You did hit on a lot of the most popular ones.
Yeah, I think for me, when it came to stuff like the Masters and Wimbledon, like, I'll watch the final – and, like, for the Masters and for the golf, like, I'm not a massive golf guy. You guys will sit there and watch every shot, every round. You know, you'll couch it for 9 hours watching
this
it.
This is where you guys screwed up. There should have been a top 10 list because all of the things can fit in there.
Top
like,
seven.
What are we even talking about? U.S. Open tennis? Everybody watches the U.S. Open final in tennis.
The final. But it's just the final, whereas a lot of these other things, I watched all of it. Like, I'm not just tuning into the final. That's where I was going with the Masters. I'll watch, like, the back nine, or if Tiger's in the hunt, I'll watch Tiger. But I'm not going to sit there and watch Saturday afternoon.
That's
I'm not going to be watching golf.
Yeah, right. That's understandable. I can't argue with that. I mean, listen, if we go to 10, though, then Al's brother's just making stuff up. Like, then all of a sudden he's going to start saying, you know,
the Royal Rumble
SEC
will be
football,
there.
Royal
Dude,
Rumble.
Dude, it's so easy. For me, it's obviously to what you watch. All four golf majors for me, the Super Bowl, Stanley Cup Finals, U.S. Open Tennis, Wimbledon. Like, I don't know. Euros is not even on my top 100 list.
It's got to be in the top 100. I mean, how many tournaments are there around the world that would classify ahead of it? Like,
if I didn't sit and talk to you guys for a living, I probably would never say the word Euros.
Listen, I hear what you're saying because I don't know enough.
But tune in tomorrow because there'll be more on TSN radio.
France versus Germany. I know that's a big game. I'm not stupid enough to understand that.
I won't sniff 1 second of that game.
Well, I'll check that out because we both have action on that.
Yeah,
France.
You better be watching it.
I got Germany. Do you have France, though? I think you do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do.
All right, let's put a little scratch on that game, and then all of a sudden you'll be dialed in. By the end of it, you'll have an English dialect.
You got a minahunch for me to watch 1 second.
What's the line right now, Al's brother? Who's favored in that game? I would think France is probably favored.
France would be the favorite team. I don't know what the exact line is, but France definitely.
This is a straight up hunch. That's it. I'm not doing any odds, nothing. A hunch.
All right, fine. I'll take Germany tomorrow. My boy Yogi Low, he will be dancing down the sideline.
He'll be sniffing.
He's going to have oven mitts on, you know it.
He'll be
three knuckles deep. Three knuckles deep, for sure.
Massive rivalry.
Within 5 minutes into the game, for sure.
He will be. He will inspire the boys. He'll threaten the boys, and they'll say, okay, fine, we'll win, as long as you stay away from us.
Exactly.
It's actually a pretty inspiring little speech. So, okay, yeah, let's do it. Germany-France tomorrow. Now you got to watch the whole game. Like, I expect you to sound like Luke Wallman at 5 p.m. tomorrow.
Just all right, I will. British but, it took you to make a $100 bet for me to want to pay attention.
Yeah.
But we go through that every year. Like, in a Thursday nighter between the Jets and Jaguars, we were so invested because we had a little bit of money on the game. And like, that was my point with March Madness. Like, everyone puts money on it, and you're just so invested into this
tournament. We're going to have a new format for NFL. Noodles is going to moderate, and we're going to go through on maybe Wednesday or Thursday all of the games on the weekend, and Noodles is going to flip a coin for the first game and just rotate, and we're just going to
rapid fire.
Rapid fire, $20 a game, every game, every weekend.
Just get crazy the whole weekend.
No, it's just $20 a game, and we'll keep a running tally so we know where we're at the end of the year.
Yeah, no funny business. This might be a role for, you know, the grappler or Mullen or Al's brother. Although you got other things on the go, but something's got to give here because we got to make sure that this is documented.
For
Chris
sure.
tweeting in with an interesting point, which I don't know how to answer this based on the provision we had about the Olympics not being included. But he said, "What about the World Juniors? Like, how's the World Juniors not in the top five?"
Yeah, that's a good call. You know what? I'll say that I didn't really think of the World Juniors as
maybe the best tournament going, Al's brother.
Well, I was trying to think international events. Like I don't know why I can kind of put it together with the Olympic men's team and then just didn't add it. But the World Juniors you know what? Maybe the World Series makes its way off my list.
I would think so. For me,
and
I love baseball playoffs, especially. I mean, it all comes down to your content. Like if the Jays are in the playoffs.
100%.
Not much that can beat it.
No.
Exactly. But if it's – you're viewing it differently, clearly. Like the NBA playoffs are ongoing. There's a lot going on in the NBA playoffs. With the Raptors out of it, LeBron out of it, Steph out of it, it takes on a different complexion. And, like, James Harden's out for Game 5. Kyrie Irving's out for Game 5. Your boy Kevin Durant, we'll see what he's made of. See what he's made of because he's always had, Hall of Famers on his wing. And it looks like he's going to be riding with, Joe Harris and – Blake Griffin and Mike James for Game 5. So what do you got?
You'll see what he's got.
I guess we will. P.J. Tucker is rent-free in his head right now.
How about the security guard that's never allowed to work a game in Milwaukee again for that episode? He was trying to help him, wasn't he?
I don't know what he was thinking, though. Why are you don't get in there and try to break up a fight. Who are you?
See, where the hell did that guy come from? Like
hero.
The beer section? And then he
I've
just
never
wheeled?
Seen that before.
This guy wheels out on the court with an attitude and just starts pushing people away.
And then
all of a sudden, the next day, you see a tweet. The guard in Milwaukee will never be allowed to work another game again.
I feel for the guy because I'm assuming he was coming at it from a play. Like, maybe he was trained. If all hell breaks loose, you got to get in there. And maybe that's what he was reading. But Tucker and KD were just kind of jawing at each other.
Yeah.
And Tucker's the home guy. Like, he went out there and smokes Tucker from behind. And it's like, if you're going to do that, wouldn't you be thinking I got to get at the Nets player and push him back or push him around? Why are you pushing your own guy back?
That's probably why they tuned him up and said you're done. Like you actually hit the home player,
right?
Like
right.
The guy was such a hero, though.
The security, and with what happened with Masai at Oracle, like I think the NBA has come to a pretty clear conclusion that if the security guard does anything out of line, you got to go.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
It's somewhat understand. Like Tucker was
you
like, "What the hell are you doing?"
You see that dude with the Phoenix Suns jersey on, just absolutely feed the other dude.
Well, the other guy suckered him though. I don't know how it worked.
And he deserved it, man. The other guy suckered him, and then he jerseyed him and absolutely filled him in.
He had the guy down, and he took a pop at his buddy too. Yeah. I loved it.
And then he goes, "Suns in four." And then walked
Devin Booker sent it. Devin Booker sent out a tweet today, and he said, "I need this man's info, please."
That's amazing.
Dying.
He's a super fan, and the Suns. I mean, they represented Chris Paul. You look at his series, and it says something about the MVPs, right? Like we'll get into this tomorrow. The recent MVPs, guys like Jokic, Giannis times two, in the NHL playoffs, or in the NHL, same thing. It's going to be McDavid, and it's been who recently? Draisaitl last year. It's been Taylor Hall. It doesn't matter what you do in the regular season, man. It just doesn't carry over to the playoffs.
No.
Right.
And it hasn't in recent years anyway.
Chris Paul is a bit of a reach saying that he was never like a highly touted prospect
He's
or whatever.
He's always been. He was a top.
Like top
dude, I know. There's like pictures of him at the McDonald's tournaments and all that stuff. I was just like, if you want to find motivation, great, but stop with the reach there about how you were never this highly touted player.
Always on Team USA, lock for
everything,
Hall of Famer,
dude. Everything.
All right, Al's brother. Good stuff.
Yeah, the bosses loved your rankings. I just got a note. Good job.
Beautiful. We'll come back and wrap up a busy afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Jays at Fenway tonight. Game 1, Habs, Vegas. What a win this would be for Montreal, man. If you can set the tone with a win tonight, you're alive. You're into it. The crowd's going to be going crazy. I'll bet you there'll be some Habs fans in attendance. We'll be down there. Not necessarily from up here, but people in Montreal that live in the States.
Just like the Islanders did yesterday, man. You really get your attention. You go in there and sneak out game one, man.
Big time. Big time. Yeah, and it's been a winning formula. Montreal won game one in the first series, won game one against Winnipeg. You know, they've also taken the lead in seven straight games, scored first. So we'll see what they're made of tonight. It's going to be a tough test, but
I agree.
It should be a fun one tonight. So you got that. You've got U.S. Open this week. The Euros are cooking all week. It's going to be a fun week coming up. I've been saying that all afternoon. Germany, France, don't forget tomorrow. We're out of here. Enjoy the games tonight. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at?
RIP Al's Brothers Rankings, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.